Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This might sound hard to believe, but maybe, just maybe, there are some other things besides politics that should capture the Christian's attention.
Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day! Happy Reformation Day!
Well, that would be one of them. This is Wretched Radio 1517 on Halloween. I don't know that they did Halloween. Can somebody please put the brakes on Halloween? I'm seeing these monster skeletons and these big witches everywhere. I just, please, can the dark holiday abate? Yikes! It was on this date, 1517, that Martin Luther nailed 95 complaints to the church door in Wittenberg. 95 complaints. And while there were other reformers that preceded Martin Luther, this was the shot heard around the world, courtesy of Johann Gutenberg, the fellow who invented the printing press. There were other people who had been complaining about the Roman Catholic Church. By the way, they were all Roman Catholics. Going all the way back to Savonarola in Italy, he was a priest in Rome and he complained. Was he in Florence? Jimmy, would you check? I think he was in Rome, if I'm not mistaken. Jerome Savonarola was his name, and he railed against the papacy. He railed against the debauchery. He railed against works for salvation. So Martin Luther wasn't the only one, but when he codified 95 complaints, known as the 95 Theses, it was printed, it was disseminated, and it really is the spark that lit the Protestant Reformation. And we do well every year to remember our Protestant heritage. Just made a video about this. Had my son in the video. It was very exciting for me, taking a tour of Europe and our Protestant history. Why? Because J.D. Vance isn't the only fellow who's moving from evangelicalism to Roman Catholicism. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. How quickly we forget. What was the name of the young lady who worked at the Daily Wire? And then there was some sort of kerfuffle about Jewish people and the war going on in Israel. Candace Owen. She's another one. She called herself an evangelical. Now she's Roman Catholic. Why? They want something old. They want something ancient. Well, here you go. Here's something that's a half a millennia old. Martin Luther complaining about one of the central complaints on the 95 Theses, and that was indulgences, purchasing heaven, getting sprung from purgatory for a florin. He complained about this. There were a number of the theses that talked about the Pope's ability to spring somebody on one day if you pay some money. Why not every day? Why keep those poor saints suffering in purgatory if you as a pope have the ability to release them because somebody drops a little coin into a kettle? That was Martin Luther's, no, not the only one, but one of Martin Luther's big complaints.
Your pope, the vicar of Christ, sends you a gift. A gift to save you from such fires. A special indulgence granted for the building of St. Peter's Church in Rome, where the bones of the apostles lie moldering, exposed to wind and rain, desecrated by wild animals. Take heed the words of your Holy Father who says, lay a stone for St. Peter's, and you lay the foundation for your own salvation and happiness in heaven. How? With this indulgence.
How could the Pope withhold the release of a soul from purgatory unless you gave money for the building of the Basilica in Rome? Martin Luther continued railing against the indulgences, the purchasing of heaven, because he was convinced we are saved by grace alone, faith alone, through Jesus Christ alone.
Who here has been to Rome? Did you buy an indulgence?
No.
I did. For a silver florin, I freed my grandfather from purgatory. For twice that, I could have sprung Grandma and Uncle Marcus too, but... But I didn't have the funds, so they had to stay in the hot place. As for myself, the priests assured me that by gazing at sacred relics, I could cut down my time in purgatory. Luckily for me, Rome had enough nails from the Holy Cross to shoe every horse in Saxony.
Ow! Relics, relics, relics!
There are relics elsewhere in Christendom. 18 out of 12 apostles are buried in Spain. And yet here in Wittenberg, we have the pick of the crop. Bread from the Last Supper, milk from the Virgin's breast, a thorn that pierced Christ's brow on Calvary, and 19,000 other bits of sacred bone, all authenticated sacred relics, even John Tetzel himself, inquisitor of Poland and Saxony, seller of indulgences extraordinary, connoisseur of relics, envies our collection. To possess them for a single night, he would willingly surrender 5 years of his earthly life. Or 500 years in purgatory.
Mm-hmm. Funny, not funny. Jimmy, from whence was your Jerome Savonarola?
From Renaissance Florence.
Renaissance Florence.
Mm-hmm.
Renaissance Florence. Oh, okay. Florence during the Renaissance.
Maybe that's what it means.
So was Florence where he was stationed. Nevertheless, he saw the debauchery that was bilging out of the Vatican. If you ever want to do so, this was, I don't know if I shared this, but a number of weeks ago at alpharettabiblechurch.org, the subject matter was Peter and his confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response, a mere play on words. If it weren't, he would have stated very clearly, Peter, you're the first pope. You have all of the authority. Instead, you, little pebble, Petrus, based on this Petra, not the singing group from the 80s, based on this big boulder of a confession, I'm going to build my church. And the Roman Catholic Church took that to mean that that was the installation of Peter the Pope, whom heard the words from Jesus, but minutes later, get behind me, Satan. And at the transfiguration was cut off by God for not understanding that Jesus is greater than Moses and Elijah. The transfiguration was another reminder that Peter is not the first pope. And I was going to share in that sermon the history of the papacy, and I realized I couldn't do it. It was so debauched. So I had to categorize it because you don't want to spend time talking about such things that shouldn't even be spoken about unless you're calling them out. And so while I had about 40 different popes that were wicked, couldn't share it. So I just had to put it into clumps of categories like sodomy, orgies, incest. I mean, yikes. The history of the papacy. Oofta. That's right. I said oofta. Martin Luther called it out. Jerome Savonarola before him had called it out. Jan Hus burned at the stake. He called it out. And for Martin Luther's troubles, what did they do for him? Well, they put him on a diet, specifically a diet of worms.
Martin Luther, are you the author of these writings?
I am.
Do you recant what you have written here?
I cannot renounce all of my works because they are not all the same. First are those books in which I have described Christian faith and life so simply that even my opponents have admitted that these works are useful. To renounce these writings would be unthinkable, for that would be to renounce accepted Christian truths.
He is not here to make speeches, only to answer.
The second group of my work is directed against the foul doctrine and evil living of the popes, past,
and present.
No! Yes! 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 Through the laws of the Pope and the doctrines of men, the consciences of the faithful have been miserably vexed and flayed.
If I recant these books, I will do nothing but add strength to tyranny and open not just the windows, but also the doors to this great ungodliness.
He has condemned himself.
In the third group, I have written against private persons and individuals who uphold Roman tyranny and have attacked my own efforts to encourage piety to Christ. I confess that I've written too harshly. I am but a man and I can err. Only let my errors be proven by Scripture.
There are some things that are more important than politics, and that is the truth of the gospel of grace. Faith alone, Christ alone. On this day, we celebrate something more transcendent, and that is the reclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever notice how many voices are just clamoring for your attention these days? It seems like every week there's a new theological trend, another fresh interpretation of the Bible. Well, that's exactly why we've launched Fortis Institute. Drawing from 1 Corinthians 15:58, we're committed to helping you stand firm. Through Fortis Plus, you're going to get free access to 7 new pieces of audio and video content every single day, hundreds of hours of biblical content, exclusive director's cuts. But here's the thing, we're only able to continue providing this fortress of truth with the support of faithful gospel partners just like you. Your monthly gifts help us reach millions of people all over the world with the uncompromising biblical truth of God's word. So if you're ready to stand firm with us, just visit us at fortisinstitute.org and become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, they're not for the faint of heart, and in a fallen world, those sacred callings can feel overwhelming. Maybe you're struggling with communication. Maybe your kids seem a bit out of control. Maybe you're just trying to keep your head above water. But here's the truth. Your home wasn't designed just to survive.
It takes robust, very alive, well-fed faith to have a marriage that thrives.
Join Pastor Brad Bigney, who spent over 3 decades as a biblical counselor, helping thousands of couples and families move from barely surviving to truly thriving. Each episode of Thrive tackles real issues with biblical wisdom, from resolving conflicts to rekindling romance to raising godly children in an ungodly world. Don't settle for survival mode. Listen to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now on Fortis Plus or your favorite podcast platforms. You can find out more about Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive at fortisinstitute.org.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Masters Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Masters Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on 2 fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine. for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Masters Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church, look to 1 Corinthians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
When I was just a younger man, I studied canon law. All effort was a challenge, it was just to please my pa. Then came the storm, the lightning struck, I called upon St. Anne. I shaved my head, I took my vows in Augustinian. No, papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation. Speak your mind against them and face excommunication. Nail your theses to the door that start a reformation. Papal bulls, indulgences, and transubstantiation.
Happy Reformation Day. It's not just for Lutherans, you know, but it was Martin Luther who providentially was a Lutheran who kicked off what we celebrate as the Protestant Reformation. It's a big day for Protestants.
When Tetzel came near Wittenberg, St. Peter's prophet sore, I wrote a little notice for the All Saints bulletin board. You cannot purchase merits for we're justified by grace. Here's 95 more reasons, Brother Tetzel, in your face.
Indulgences. It was but one of the major issues that was central to the Protestant Reformation. Probably all revolved around authority, ultimately, which is why sola scriptura is so important. Who gets to say? Who measures what is true? Is it the magisterium? Is it the Pope? But stemming out of sola scriptura was grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, because the Roman Catholic Church was actually peddling salvation. The name Tetzel, it should ring a bell. He was the man. There were others that were traveling around Europe selling salvation to spring people from purgatory. Tetzel, he was the big guy, perhaps, but there were others.
In heaven, there is a treasure chest filled with merit. Merit from Christ Jesus, the Virgin Mary, and the saints who, through their holy lives, have merit to spare for us.
That alone is heretical. The only merit that is efficacious is the merit of Jesus Christ.
Poor sinners in need. Tonight, that treasury is open to you. Do you not hear their voices? The screaming voices.
Wow.
Your deceased parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, screaming, beloved child, because for a few coins, you can rescue them from their punishments and pain. Listen, open your ears. Father calling to son, mother to daughter. When a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs.
Perhaps you think that's ancient history. It most certainly is not. Indulgences are still sold in the Roman Catholic Church. That was cute back. Oh, they did that back then. No, this is still happening today. And if you're hearing this, I think it was Alfred Molina, really good actor, playing Tetzel, and it's making you go, whoa, that's really awful. Nothing has changed.
God-fearing man, do you have a coin for Christ?
Yes.
Gentle mother, when the time comes, make certain your crippled child can run to Jesus.
Oh, wicked. Whew.
These learned monks are standing by to write down your name or the name of a loved one, dead or alive, on this, your passport to the celestial joys of paradise.
I hope that incenses you. It certainly didn't make Martin Luther very happy.
We obsess over relics, indulgences, pilgrimages to holy places. Yet all the time, there is Christ.
Amen.
Christ, Christ here, in every corner, in every hour of the day. He isn't found in the bones of saints, but here, in your love for each other, in your love for one another.
Yeah, I'm not sure Martin Luther said that.
In his sacraments, and in God's holy word. If we live the word by faith in love and service to one another, we need fear no man's judgment.
Love, the beginning of that snippet, it's about Christ. He's right there. All the merit you need is available in Jesus Christ, not in a pilgrimage, not in giving money. It is available in Jesus Christ. Grace alone, faith alone in Christ alone. It was Martin Luther who really shined the light on the work righteous system inside of the Roman Catholic Church. They weren't a big fan of the Augustinian monk, so they call him in for a diet. Now, that would be more like a trial, not cutting out carbohydrates, which I don't think Martin Luther ever did, because there's a lot of carbohydrates in beer. And they were going to shut down this monk, or they would take his life, as they have done with others like Jerome Savonarola, like Jan Hus, whose goose was cooked at the stake when he refused to recant. They died for grace alone. And Martin Luther was willing to do the same.
You, Martin Luther, will not draw into doubt those things which the Catholic Church has judged already, things that have passed into usage, rite, and observance. The faith that Christ, the most perfect lawgiver, ordained. The faith the martyrs strengthened with their blood. You wait in vain for a disputation over things that you are obligated to believe. Now give your answer. Yes or no?
Will you recant or will you not?
Since your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer. Unless I am convinced by scripture and by plain reason, and not by popes and councils who have so often contradicted themselves, my conscience is captive to the word of God. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I cannot, and I will not, recant.
Kaboom.
Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
And he did, because Martin Luther was hunted, but he did not get executed by the Roman Catholic Church. Instead, he had to hole up where he just kind of busied himself translating the Bible into German from the Hebrew and Greek. He was a big brain fellow, the Martin Luther. He ultimately just grew sickly and a wee bit cantankerous, but he died believing in grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. And I just wonder, maybe, perhaps, this particular year, this particular election cycle, maybe the Protestant Reformation is exactly what the doctor ordered for us to take our mind off of politics. Yep, I get it. This stuff is important. But what Martin Luther did, what John Knox did, John Calvin, William Tyndale, plus Savonarola, plus Hus, plus Wycliffe, these men gave their lives so that we could have the Bible in our own language, so that we did not have to buy our salvation, which was already purchased for us by Jesus Christ, so that we could live a life of liberty, which is what the Christian life offers, that we have been set free indeed. And look at the results. Look at the effects. We have a tendency to look at political systems and elections. And please, I get it. This is important. I've already voted. Jimmy, I've already voted three times. How many did you?
12.
There are moments like this, you kind of wish you were dead because then you could vote even more than 12 times. It's important. I do understand it. But what Luther kicked off on this date, it changed Western civilization. And you can know that by going to IKEA. That's right. The furniture design at IKEA, why does it have that Scandinavian look? Well, why does Scandinavian furniture look a certain way? Because Scandinavia was predominantly Lutheran after the Protestant Reformation. And even the furniture, it reflected Protestant ideals like being frugal. In other words, the effect of the Protestant Reformation, it has changed the last half a millennia. Maybe we should focus a bit more on that. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. We start with the Thomas More Society, who is taking on fact checkers over Missouri's controversial Amendment 3. They've recently released a comprehensive decoder document that exposes the amendment's far-reaching implications. The amendment's open-ended language about reproductive health care would not only expand abortion, but could also reverse the state's ban on child gender transitions. In a revealing CBS interview, Kamala Harris repeatedly dodged questions about which abortion restrictions, if any, she would support as president, insisting only that codifying Roe would be her first priority. Wes Streeting is Britain's health secretary, and he's recently met with five nurses known as the Darlington Nurses. These healthcare workers gain national attention for speaking out against their hospital's policy for allowing a male who identifies as a female but takes no hormones to use women's changing areas. After human resources told them to broaden their mindsets, they gathered 48,000 signatures demanding protection for women's privacy. That broad enough for you? Neiman Marcus has removed Christmas from its annual gift catalog, rebranding it as the Holiday Book in the name of inclusivity. And while some employees criticize the change, I think we should actually be thanking them. I mean, why do we want our sacred holiday that commemorates our Savior's birth to be used to sell $400 throw pillows? Maybe it's just me. Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, has been facing widespread calls for his resignation after declaring that sexual intimacy in same-sex relationships is morally acceptable. In a podcast interview, Welby said, quote, "All sexual activity should be within a committed relationship, whether it's gay or straight." Pretty big departure from the Church of England's teaching that sexual intimacy belongs exclusively within traditional marriage. Traditional as in between one man and one woman. Well, a new Gallup poll shows 84% of Americans support voter ID requirements, with an even higher percentage supporting proof of citizenship for first-time voters. Despite claims that such requirements are discriminatory, it seems like the vast majority of Americans across all demographics believe securing our elections is just common sense. Doesn't seem to be a lot of that going around these days, though. And finally, we end with some good news from Los Angeles. A teenage girl named Yvonne was folding laundry when she noticed a man attempting to kidnap an 11-year-old girl walking home from school. Her quick thinking and willingness to intervene, simply shouting, "Hey, leave her alone," was enough to deter the would-be kidnapper. And when asked about her heroic actions, she said humbly, "Hey, it was just a good day to be nosy." And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I am Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you also can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf, and in return, we receive his righteous standing before God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
One wonders. Actually, you don't have to wonder. What would Martin Luther say? This is Wretched Radio. Justin Welby, he's the fellow with the biggest hat in the Anglican Communion, recently went on to a podcast called The Rest is Politics. The Archbishop of Canterbury, who leads the Anglican Communion, he was asked, do you believe gay sex is sinful? Now, that's kind of a no-brainer, wouldn't you say? For 2,000 years, nobody argued about that during the Protestant Reformation. It's not like people throughout the centuries have been at it over the, what do you think the Bible says about it? Do you think the Bible says this? No, it's crystal clear to everybody until recently. Quote, where we've come to this is to say that all sexual activity should be within a committed relationship, whether it's straight or gay. You know what verse that is? Of course you don't, because it doesn't exist. Basically, the Archbishop of Canterbury, who is totally capitulated, not entirely unanticipated, on the subject, feeling the peer pressure, is claiming that as long as it's stable and committed, it is therefore acceptable to God. I just don't find that anywhere in the Bible. There is no caveat. When Jesus said, have you not heard from the beginning? One man, one woman. By the way, Jimmy, speaking of which, I get to officiate a wedding on Saturday.
Oh, you do?
It's not going to be easy.
Why?
Because, well, the homily, the sermon, what do you think? 10 minutes? 12? 15? They're standing there.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody, they, you know, standing to listen to a sermon, like in the old days when we used to stand to listen to sermons because there were no church pews back then. What do you think? 12 minutes? 15 minutes?
45?
Oh, stop it.
They call it a commitment for a reason.
Yeah, well, we don't want to kick it off on the wrong foot now, do we? There's so much to say about marriage. And one of the things to say about marriage is Genesis 1 and 2. You see the big view, and then Genesis 2 brings the microscope in to give us some more details. God created male and female because it was not good for man to be alone. So what did he create? Not a dude, but a dudette. The perfect complement. And he told them to be fruitful and multiply. The same gender cannot accomplish that command. And so we go back to the Bible, which is crystal clear, without any exceptions, if somehow the configuration is different, as long as it's stable, what did he say? As long as it's stable and
faithful.
Okay. All right. So, let's just see if we can work with this here. And let's just think of another sin. Stabbing somebody with a knife is acceptable as long as the knife is clean and it doesn't have a serrated edge. You'd say, that's probably the dumbest thing you've ever said. Oh, well, I would argue with that. But that's exactly what he's doing there. Fill in the blank with another sin. That's the issue. And the reason that Justin Welby is clearly, he's not capitulating, he's totally changed his tune. It is because of pure pressure. It reflects, this was a statement that had to be released. It reflects his commitment to continuing to welcome, love, and include LGBTQ people more fully in the life of the church. All right, so he made that decision without consulting the Bible, relegated that to the shelf. Wonder what William Tyndale would say to Justin Welby. But Luther and Tyndale, they were both dudes. They weren't frail men. Now, John Calvin, granted, he was pretty frail, but even John Calvin was willing to fall onto the communion table to keep it safe from the libertines who were entered into the church to say, we're taking communion. And Calvin said, over my dead body, as he spread his frail frame onto the elements. They were men. Justin Welby, total capitulator. Feeling the peer pressure. Aren't you glad the Protestant reformers didn't back down? Aren't you glad that Martin Luther said, here I stand, I can do no other? Aren't you glad that guys like William Huss, who were mocked by the Catholic Church in a kangaroo court, aren't you glad that they were willing to be set on fire for the sake of the truth? This is a perfect example of having a presupposition and then imposing it on the text. Because there's no way that you can read the Bible and conclude God is okay with two men or two women in a marriage relationship or any sort of intimate relationship as long as it's faithful and stable. That's called eisegesis. He added, we've put forward a proposal that where people have been through a civil partnership or a same-sex marriage, they should be able to come along to a church and have a service of prayer and blessing for them in their lives together. Oof. If you hear that sound, that would be William Tyndale spinning in a grave right now. We put forth a proposal. And by the way, this is a conversation. It would really be, it's probably going to be relevant soon enough if it isn't totally relevant today. And that is, who says who's married? And the answer, in my estimation, is God. He's the one who gets to determine it. After all, it's his idea. But I'm talking about practically, who gets to say who's married? I think that it's time to re-ask the question, why is the government involved in the business of marriage? I get it. The government decided that it is of particular interest to the stability of a nation that marriage is encouraged. And so tax benefits were offered, and the government got involved where heretofore they had not been involved. You got married when there were witnesses, you vowed before God, and you signed your Bible. None of this by the power invested in me by the state of Georgia, which I won't be saying on Saturday. I now pronounce you. Okay, the government, they can say your configuration, you can have tax breaks. And I also understand that an individual who just gets married by the government is married in the eyes of God. That's why I think this is a little bit tricky, but I don't know that it has to be. But even though the government can offer tax benefits and say, we're giving you this certificate, it is God who offers that proclamation, and we don't need the government to tell us. And now that the government is redefining what marriage is, they have redefined it. We've been living with it now for 9 years. We find ourselves doing ceremonies that have to be authorized by the government. You make a vow before God and witnesses, you're married. You don't need the government. You can go to the government if you wanted to get those tax breaks, but that is not what marriage is about. It is about a covenantal till death do us part vow before God. And incidentally, all of the symbols that continue to linger inside of the wedding ceremonies of even pagans, it is almost entirely biblical. Why does the bride wear a white dress? Is it Revelation 19? The bride of Christ prepared in a white dress to be presented to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Why do we have wedding rings? Well, that was a covenant symbol. There's always a seal of a covenant. You have a number of these seals in the Bible. Consider circumcision, consider the rainbow. Oh, wait, sorry. Don't consider the rainbow anymore. That doesn't belong to God, apparently, anymore. It was a seal of a covenant, a visual way of expressing, I made an oath till death do us part. That's what the wedding ring is for. You should look at that and say, I made a vow. I made a vow. And the vows that used to be made, by the way, when it came to cutting a covenant, when we say till death do us part, I know that in part we have in mind that if you just get old and die, well, obviously there's no marriage because you don't have two live husband and wife. But I think there's even more. If I break this vow, kill me. That was why the cutting of the animals, that was the Abrahamic covenant. What's with the cutting of the animal and the pot passing through? What was that? That was the walk of death. It was a way of saying, if I break this covenant, do to me what has been done to this animal. And it was done in front of witnesses. And then what would happen? There would be a reception. Well, that's what we call it, but it would be a celebration. And by the way, it was not uncommon for two men to feed each other. I know. In our cultural context, you automatically think, oh, were they gay? No. They were showing, we're one. We are We're one in this covenant. Those symbols endure. The meaning and significance is gone. Welby's office responded, Archbishop Justin was giving a personal view that reflects the position now held by himself, the Archbishop of York, and many other bishops regarding sexual intimacy. In other words, get ready, Anglican Communion. It's going to be affirmed before you know it. What would the Protestant reformers say? I think even Henry VIII would go, you did what? This is Wretched Radio.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford.
If you're dating someone that's not really convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, like hit the eject button. What are you doing? What are you doing? That's dangerous because they're not actually a Christian. They don't believe in the gospel.
Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep, practical wisdom from God's Word, showing how Scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Whether you're struggling with difficult relationships or battling addictive habits, or just simply seeking to grow deeper in your faith, you'll find rock-solid biblical guidance that points you to Christ. Transformed is not just another Christian podcast. It's your weekly appointment with biblical truth. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transformed and Dr. Greg Gifford now at fortisinstitute.org.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
The lost generation wandered without direction after World War I. Well, today, there's another war raging. It's a cultural battle, and it's leaving young men disoriented and directionless. Raised on unfiltered entertainment and endless online content, Gen Z is facing unprecedented challenges with loneliness and depression. But there is hope. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson.
We want to be the biblical ideal of being a man, which means that we want to be loving, patient, kind, and we want to exercise humble leadership.
As Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, and it's available right now at Fortis Plus and all of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more about Dr. Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood, and all of our other content.
Lexicon.
There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is exciting. This is Wretched Radio. By the way, Jimmy, what did you think of my Henry VIII impersonation? What are you thinking? That's how Henry VIII would speak, because he was gruff in every presentation I've ever seen. He barked at everybody. He'd be barking at the Anglican Communion right now. Do you know what is exciting here in Wretched Land? We just heard from a radio station in Utah. I understand that there are a few Mormons who live in Utah. It's KWOT-FM. Not only do they want to air Wretched, they want to air Transformed. They want to air all of our Fortas Institute podcasts because they are superb. Way of Manhood with Adam Tyson. Awesome. Brad Bigney, Thrive. You want your marriage to improve? And even if it is going well right now, I'm telling you, listen to his podcast. Your marriage will improve and you'll need a nap. That man is exhausting. The energy, he is just, I just saw a snippet of him preaching. He's just always amped. When I met him for the first time, I had known Brad, but when I met him the first time, I just bumped into him in the airport. He's kind of an unmistakable fellow. He's striking. And his energy, ooh, he's got an aura about him. If those things are real, those machines that show are, it takes up a lot of space. The dude is just wound. And his podcast is just awesome. John Kratz, Thrive, helping you connect the Bible with your life, your faith, with everything that you do. His podcast is so good. All right, so we got Thrive. We've got Way of Manhood. Got Transformed.
Transformed.
Wretched.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I forgetting here?
That's it. Integrate It. You just mentioned Integrate It. You said John Kratz. You didn't say Integrate It. So, yeah, that's...
Oh, did I think I called his Thrive, too.
Okay.
My bad. He's integrated. Integrating your faith, which will help you to thrive. So, once again, the talk show host is never wrong. And by the way, there's going to be a new podcast being introduced in January. Jimmy, what do you think about the new We Cannot Mention the Name podcast?
It's going to be good.
It's going to be really good.
Uh-huh.
And all of that is available at fortisplus.org. If you have not availed yourself of all of the podcasts that we are now producing here, and when I say we, I basically mean I, because Jimmy what? Has nothing to do with any of it. You can do that at fortisplus.org. All of our stuff. Free. You can watch it. You can hear it. We're just absolutely over the moon excited that we get to give all of that stuff away. It's not a subscription model. I do think you need to give us, I'm not mistaken, but I think you need to give us like your name, your email, your blood type, social security number.
None of that. None of that. Just your name and email.
Just your name and email. That way we can spam you to death.
That's right. And we do.
Which we do. Uh-huh. But none of it is saying, please support us. Please buy this. No, no. It's just, here's all the stuff that we've created that we want to give to you. So please avail yourself of that and can't wait to be on KWOT-FM. What town in Utah are they in?
I don't know.
Excellent.
I'll find out.
All right.
Hey. Are you waiting on me to find out? You good?
Do you see what I just did?
What did you just do?
I actually just drooled. I did. I actually just drooled. Like two big blops of drool.
You are getting...
I'm telling you, I know this is a thing. I wasn't thinking about food. That'll happen someday. I don't know if you're a kind of a saliva-blessed person, but there's sometimes when I'm so hungry, before I can put the sandwich into my face, I'll actually drool down my chin. Yeah, it ain't a pretty picture. Believe me, I'm fully aware. I just did it, and there was no sandwich involved. What in the world? Okay, what I was trying to do was be quiet so you could interrupt me and say,
hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
It's Kanab, K-N-A-B, Utah.
But that wasn't what you're supposed to. Kanab?
Uh-huh. Oh, I thought that's what I was looking for. Kanab?
Kanab?
Uh-huh. K-N-A-B.
Are you sure you say the K? Is it maybe just Nab?
Maybe. I don't know.
You know, sort of like Pennsylvania. Okay, I'm making that up, but I know that there's some places where you don't. Okay, I remember Chuck Knapp, K-N-A-P-P. He was on 94.5 FM. It was the competitor to KDWB in the Twin Cities. It was like the top 40 station. He was the morning guy. And he went over to KTIS. And his last name was K-N-A-P-P. Well, still is. But you didn't say the K. So what is it, Jimmy?
I think you say the K because it's K-A-N-A-B.
Oh, K-A-N-A-B. Uh-huh. You said K-N-A-B.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was still mesmerized.
Kanab. All righty.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Why aren't you talking?
That was rough. Because I can't talk about probably three of the big stories in evangelical Christianity, because I think there are biblical rules when it comes to discussing what we discuss, that we need to actually apply what the Proverbs teach us about hearing one side of the story, rendering a verdict before hearing the other side of the story. I'm not even going to mention the name. There's a documentary that's been done, and I've watched some of it. I didn't watch the entire thing. Very well produced, and it is about a local church with complaints about their pastor. And I can't talk about it because it's just one side. And if you think that that is because, well, you're siding then with the pastor, that's what you're doing. No, I'm siding with the Bible. I believe it's Proverbs 18:17. You hear one side of the story, seems right, till you hear the other side of the story. This is why we have courts. And this is why you can have a prosecutor and a defense attorney, and they both get their say and they both get their time so that both sides of the story can be heard. So with this particular documentary, which will currently go nameless, until we hear the other side of the story, I just don't think it's appropriate to talk about it. And even if we hear from the other side, I'm still going to be reticent to talk about it because it's a local church issue. And we really have to give deference to those guys. Now, in this instance, I get it. The fellow who's involved is famous. I get it. It's a national ministry. I understand that. And I would, if somebody said, therefore, we should talk about it publicly, I wouldn't think that you're a heretic. I might drool in a bucket a little bit, but I do that regularly, apparently. But for me in my house, I would have to ask, is it going to help the body to discuss it? And if you are going to talk about it, what are we talking about it about? I'll get back to you on that sentence structure. What do we have to say? How will it edify? How will it build up? How will it grow? There are two other stories. Now, just so that somebody doesn't think that I'm partial in all of this, I'm really not, because there are two other stories, and these guys are, let's just say, liberal Christians. And they're both scandals, and I've only heard reports on it. I don't have anything to say about it because I don't know if it's true or not. And if I use their name and talked about them, even if Jimmy is the only person listening, which rumor has is the statistic. We've seen the numbers of the program. Jimmy, you might, on certain days, you're the only one actually listening to this here wretched radio program.
I'm not really listening.
Until, ouch. Until we're on in Kanab.
Kanab, that's right.
Kanab.
Mm-hmm. Utah.
Oh, man, Scylla, I hope we're not wrong on this. Are you sure you got that pronunciation right?
I hope so.
We'll just run this through AI and make it sound. Did you see the story of that boy, 14-year-old boy, who was having a relationship with AI and ended up committing suicide? Oof. The only reason that I'm slow to say, look out, AI is dangerous. Well, it is, but I don't know that it's any more dangerous than all of the other things that are lurking on the internet. I don't think it's like more dangerous than other ways that kids have access to things that children or adults, frankly, shouldn't put their eyes on. But you should know, Mom and Dad, you should know. And oh, hold on. Norway, in Norwegia, the government wants to raise the age limit for using social media from 13 to 15. You can't get on without parents' permission until you're 13 currently. They want to make that 15. And there's good reason for it. And this young man is just, I think, one of the fruits of the dangers of what his social media is. Apparently, the kid got into his phone, you know, just like totally into it because Danny, D-A-N-Y, was a girl who would talk to him that wasn't a human being. And I read the article on it, and the poor boy, you know, the AI machine. Oh, my sweet king. My, you know, just saying ear-tickling things that the kid just drank down as if he'd just been in the desert. And then he killed himself so that he could go be with Danny. Boof. That's something that we should talk about. There are dangers lurking, Mom and Dad. And if your kid is diving into their phone, they're becoming distant like this boy did. He was disengaging, not involved anymore, showed no interest in any of his prior sort of hobbies and delights. You better dive into that. But these other stories, sorry, we won't. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.